Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, and if last Thursday was our favorite Thursday because it's Thanksgiving and it's football and it's food, then this is our second favorite Thursday because Andrew Razor Raycroft joins us in studio, brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Razor, how was Thanksgiving?
Excellent, excellent. It was pretty low-key at my in-laws in Rentham, so that was nice. Got to just eat and watch football and
so you
relax.
Were one of the 57 million people that watched the Chiefs-Cowboys, the most watched regular season game in history.
That's crazy. The NFL just can't, they can't screw it up now, even if they tried.
Huh? All the scandals.
It doesn't matter.
Does that bother you?
No.
Like, I think we talked about, they had the Panthers, like, cup ceremony, and it was like three in the afternoon. Does it bother you that?
No, it doesn't. Because you can't gamble on hockey like you can football. That's why. Let's be serious. Like, that's, you can't have fantasy football the same way. It's once a week. Right. It's all that. It's different. I think what bothers, I think, most hockey fans is basketball bothers people a lot. Like, how do you relate to that when, you know, like, it's just when they're all 7 feet tall and are just different athletes where we're all pretty normal sized people. But no, the football thing, that's long gone. That's, again, we can't do fantasy hockey well enough to make it popular like that.
What do you make of the health of the game compared to when you were playing? The fan engagement, money, all that kind of stuff.
Night and day. It's night and day. I mean, the salary cap when I came in 05 was $39 million. It's $115 in 2 years. So that tells you a lot about the growth. It's, hockey's in such a better place. We've got great players. We don't have fighting all of the time. We have it just enough now. So the interaction and the popularity is through the roof from when I played.
I love that I can tell you the salary cap number when I retired versus what it is now. $85 million up to $270 million.
Yeah, I guess the percentages are kind of the same as the two of us.
Exactly.
And more importantly, the price of the franchises have done the same thing.
It's crazy. Too. It's crazy. We were talking before we went on, came on today, the just, you know, the dog days a little bit of where, you know, kind of the hockey season is. And I look at the standings and you're there's a lot of teams just, you know, there's a few teams that have just obviously are running away with it. Colorado Avalanche, are you kidding me? 19-1. But for the most part, everyone's kind of hovering around 500, just above, just below.
Yeah.
Is this just a difficult time for NHLers to kind of push through to get to the other side?
It is this year, and especially the Bruins. So the Boston Bruins have played the most games in the National Hockey League. They're at 28. There's four or five other teams that have played 28, but that's the most. And it's just it's a crazy number to be at 28 games on December 4th. In under 2 months, they've played 28 games. So you're playing every other night for two straight months to start the season. It's unheard of, and it's because of the Olympics, of course. We're hearing so much about that. Every day, you kind of look at the standings, and it moves around so much. 3 days ago, the Bruins were in second place in the division. Now they're just out of the playoff spot, but they're still within 6 points or 4 points, sorry, of the division lead. But what's really standing out as I look at the NHL standings is they have a little column way on the right for streaks.
Mm-hmm.
There's one. Washington Capitals are on a win streak of six. Everybody else is under two losses or two wins.
Mm. Win, lose.
One and one. And no one, I can't see, you know, there's a couple teams like Washington, like Colorado that can go on a streak, but I just don't see it possible right now with the fatigue that's setting into this league already.
So correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm a football guy, so I could be very wrong here. Didn't there used to be a thing that where you were after Thanksgiving mm-hmm. was where you were going to end up?
Yeah,
well, that's certainly long gone, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, they throw it out the window this year, especially because of the schedule and the condense, and they've just played more games. I think last year, I believe four teams jumped in at Thanksgiving, so it has lost its luster compared to history, I guess. I think a couple reasons. One, the seasons have started a little bit later the last few years just because they want to avoid football, especially in the southern markets. So they start a little bit later, so there's less games, so there's more room, more variables afterwards. But also just I'll use football again, is the leagues want parity. And the higher salary cap and the higher floors, it's just bringing everybody closer together. No one can really run away with it anymore with the way free agency is now set up. Guys are staying with their teams. No one's really loading up, and it's hard to make trades.
The injury bug has bitten in a pretty significant way recently. Because there are some significant ones that are happening. Which one have you seen impact what's going on the ice the most?
We haven't seen the 88 one impact them yet, but now we're into four or five games. We'll see how much longer that is. That will start to affect the power play. That will start to affect those one goal games where he, of course, puts you over the top. But so I think the combination of Lindholm and McAvoy and now Joki Haru, Callahan, the Bruins are going to play their 10th defenseman of the season already tonight in Victor Soderstrom. So they've gone through the depth chart on the back end. That affects them in a big way. But of course, you know, like they're getting, the scary part is they're getting healthier right now with Arvidsson coming back and Zacha and Mittelstadt, that second line, they're all coming back. But when you don't have 73 Charlie McAvoy, you don't have David Pastrnak in your lineup, those are obviously huge holes that you don't fill. You just try and, you know, keep bailing the boat out.
Should we be worried about Pasta? Is that, I mean, I know it's day to day, but the days are piling up.
No, exactly. The day to day thing is, you know, you can take that a bunch of, you know, everything's day to day if you want to use it that way. It's been a week now, so we're now into kind of week to week, even though we don't really want to say that it is week to week because he didn't skate again today. From all accounts, it's nothing structural, so it's kind of whenever you get back and feel good. The good news is I just talked so much about the schedule. This is actually a soft spot for the Bruins. This is the softest of the spots. Only five games in 14 days for them. So it's a good time to have 73 and 88 mm-hmm. out of the lineup where, you know, at a certain time earlier in the season, five games in 8 days. So this is a decent time for them to miss, but nonetheless, it's goals that are coming off the board for the Bruins when David's not playing.
Razor, what do you think 28 games in that you feel you can count on from this team? Is it a segment of the game or a player or whatever? Like, what do you feel like this are on this team are definites that you can count on night in, night out?
For me, what stands out the most with this team is exactly what the press conference at the start of the year stated, was that this team was going to have piss and vinegar. They do. They can bully every team in the National Hockey League. This is the toughest team. No one can match them through their lineup when it comes to physicality, when it comes to hitting, changing momentum physically. No one can intimidate this team. So that is the absolute standard or the one consistent thing that isn't going to change night to night. I think they want to be more defensively consistent. I think they've had very good stretches. I mean, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 game stretches, but they want it to be automatic. You see the other night, they gave up five goals against Detroit. That drives the coaching staff a little crazy. They want to win that game 4-3 and not lose it 5-4. So I think that's really what they want to have as a consistent and an identity. But at the end of the day, it's the P&V. It's startling how, you know, the other night, Detroit, Kastelic beats up their best player handily, and there's no response. Because no one can, you know, up next is Tanner Janot, and then it's Nikita Zadorov, and then it's Jeffrey Viel. Like, this is like 2011-12 type Bruin stuff where there's just too many guys to fend off.
So, Andrew Razor Raycroft here for our weekly Bruins chat on WEEI Afternoons. You referenced the five goals, which leads us to Swayman, who had been so good. And I want to thank you. I now regularly check moneypuck.com to get the goals saved above expected. And he had gone from way down to way up. He was number one, I think, when I checked a couple days ago. Now he's at number two after that performance. Where have you seen him sort of settle in? The last one against Detroit was obviously a bad one. That felt like an early season game where he gives up a bunch of goals. They fight back, but they can't quite claw into it. But where is he in sort of who he should be as the goalie after that hot stretch and now a bad game?
No, I think he's right where he should be. Again, it's the same idea with the schedule. That affects the goaltender, right? You're just so beholden to the circumstance in front of you as a goaltender, and you can't steal every game, you can't win every game, and when you're playing every night, you know, goals, stuff happens out there, right? Like, the puck's flying around, it's hitting legs, and you get on great runs, but it's so humbling. The position is so humbling because on any given night, you can say a team is the worst team in the league, but they have nine guys that can shoot the puck as good as anybody on any other team, that can score a goal at any point on any team. So the position's humbling in nature, and I think that just those nights like the other night happened. So when you ask me Jeremy Swayman, you put a month together like he did, that's what separates you, right? You can be the same. Most guys are the same all year long. But the best guys have 1 month in the first half and 1 month in the second where they dominate. How many times did we see Tuukka Rask go on a run of like 13 in a row? Or Tim Thomas? That's really what separates you. Because, again, there's so many variables that really keep everyone pretty close together. But you need to have a big month like Jeremy did in November that puts them in the Olympic conversation, almost no question now, I think. And then also puts you at the top of all the of the stats. He's getting the night off tonight. Korpisalo's going. So he's got he's had a couple bad starts to games. Four in a row, he's had bad starts where the first chance has gone in, the first five, you know, first four or five shots, one of them's gone in. He needs to have a big start tonight for him.
In lieu of asking about Swayman being an Olympian, I'll pivot to a different name. Should Morgan Geeky be considered for the Olympic team?
I know. Yes, he should. He's not going to make the team. But when you lead the league or tied or close now, Nate MacKinnon, I think, has got one more than him now at 21. But for what he's done in 2025, if Canada needed a goal scorer, that's the issue, right? Yeah. They kind of have the goal scoring thing down between, I'll go through nine names. If it was just a little bit different or a little more complete, I think he would be in the mix. But you as a Canadian hockey player to come out of nowhere and get yourself on that list and be talked about, it should make them pretty proud.
How's that process work? How do players get picked for Team Canada, or it's different for every country, I'm guessing?
Timing for that question's perfect. I was reading this morning that Team Canada's having the brass is having a 3-day meeting this weekend. Which they're really going to dig in. I believe...
Who's the brass made up of?
Yeah, you know? So Doug Armstrong, general manager of the St. Louis Blues, Don Sweeney. So they're probably had dinner last night or tonight, or they're getting ready to go to the undisclosed location of this meeting. So But it's a black box, right? It's a black box. These guys are sworn to secrecy. The Canadian Hockey Olympic team, I don't know. I couldn't really put it into words how important it is, how crucial it is, and how seriously it's taken. It's
almost like voting
life
on new
and
Pope.
Death. Yeah, correct. There you go. That's exactly what it is. The white smoke. Yeah. We'll know when they have a team. It's so they'll go through that process. From all accounts, They've already got the six guys. They named the six guys, just like Team USA named six guys. I think all the teams did. Charlie McAvoy's on it for Team USA in that top six. But they'll dig in. Like, there isn't a stone unturned. I know Don Sweeney's been at 90% of the National Hockey League games this season. He hasn't stopped. Those guys just watch every single game and are going through with a fine-tooth comb what the lines will look like, what player will fit certain roles. They have, of course, you have four NHL coaches on the bench as well that are pulling for their guys. Right. John Cooper's the head coach. He's down in Tampa. They have, you know, they could conceivably have three or four Canadian forwards in their lineup because he's pushing for it. So it's a cool process. It's got to be painstaking for those guys. And if you can wear your jersey in the Olympics for Team Canada, it changes your legacy. It does.
You touched on Morgan Geekie, and we've been talking a lot about him. Obviously, this is a breakout year. The numbers are through the roof. But those comments 2 games ago, maybe at his locker, when he said, like, I still don't really know if I fit up there atop the standings. What do you make of that? And is there more? Like, this isn't going to stop, is it? Is this who he is? Is there more? I saw some Marco Sturm comments like, there's more to come. Like, there's more in his game that can be unlocked.
Yes, he's still a fairly young guy. He's mid-20s. He acts older than that. I think you assume he's a mature guy the way he talks. He seems a little older, but he isn't. He's a young guy. I think when you're... You know, when you've been put on waivers before, when you've been traded, expansion draft, you're not a first overall pick. I think you always have that somewhere in the back of your head where you don't want to go to the minors. Whereas a Nate MacKinnon doesn't think about, he's thinking about being, Sidney Crosby thinks about being in the Hall of Fame and, and automatically being in the Olympics and like, can I be one of the best players of all time? Not everybody has that mentality in the league. None of us are... You know, we're all pretty realistic people. But when you get to that, you do have to change. You have to become a bit of a killer, and you have to change your mentality when you lead the league in goals in a calendar year. It's you look at yourself a little differently, but you have to do that. You have to think about doing that. And I think that's where Morgan is right now, where he's just trying to feel his way through doing that in a way of being humble still, but also, you know, puffing that chest out a little bit. I think what Marco Sturm's talking about is his 200-foot game at different areas where he can impact defensively, or he can impact through the neutral zone and impact just different places on the ice. Finally, to get to the point of why he can do this all the time, is 13 of his goals are from mid-range or long-range out of his 20. So that means he can beat the goalie with his shot. That's why it's repeatable. David Pastrnak can do that. Alex Ovechkin can do that. Nate MacKinnon can do that. Most guys, so those 10 goals from mid-range, an average player scoring 2 or 3 of those.
Wow.
But Morgan Geekie's got the hardest shot in the league in a game this season. He can shoot it better than most guys, if not almost all of them. And that's what separates them. That's what allows it to be repeatable.
It's like the Patriots' completion percentage, like on longer downs.
Right.
It's you would think the further you are out, the harder the shot. But
right.
If you're good at it, that means you got a special skill.
If you have a cannon arm and you're an athlete, then it's repeatable.
Yeah.
So the 25-yard pass turns – when that becomes repeatable, then you're on to something.
You're on to something.
Andy a couple times has referenced a story. Did you read it in The Athletic about Morgan Geekie?
Yes.
About once a week he'll bring up some of the –
great story. I learned a lot.
It was specifically about the pregame ritual, how you tape your stick, the way that you get ready to play as a goal scorer. So from your perspective, could you give him a little bit more insight into kind of the science behind being a goal scorer or being a goaltender, some of the small details that maybe he's not aware of but read a couple weeks ago?
Hey, I've watched some hockey.
I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night, right?
I'm curious, like, when do you get, like, how soon do you get to the arena before the game to start your process?
Well, so that's minimum 2 hours. 2 hours is the latest you can get there. There's certainly guys that roll in at 4:59 for the 7 o'clock game, you know, half asleep, walking, you know, the guys that live close to the rink. Other guys, you know, they'll get there. The typically the guys with kids or, you know, the older guys get there much earlier to get their bodies going and get warmed up. I think 37, he was getting to the rink 3.5 hours early just to get going at different times in his career. But with Morgan, it's again, some guys are Ferraris, some guys are F-150s, where, you know, you need a lot of attention, you think about things, and other guys have the trainer tape their stick. I want nothing to do with any of this. I'll give you a bigger tip at the end of the year. Just make sure my sticks are always taped and ready for warm-up. So some guys, again, it's just such personal preference, but of course, when you're the leading goal scorer, you take a little more interest in what he's doing.
So what are we expecting tonight? St. Louis?
Jim Montgomery comes back.
Yes. Jim Montgomery, and they have seven overtime losses. So
yes.
that's a lot of overtime losses that kind of changes your record, but what do we expect tonight?
Yeah, they're hanging in. They were down and out to start the season. They're battling back. Like you said, they've been getting a lot of the loser points, so they're two games under 500, which in the West all of a sudden is keeping you in it as teams have kind of backed off over there. They don't score a lot of goals. They have not scored a lot of goals recently. I think 7 of 10 games are two goals or under, I should say. So hopefully that fills into what the Bruins want to do structurally, defensively, and bounce back. The Bruins have been bouncing back. This will be a big one. This is a game that, again, on paper, you're looking at it, that when they're two games under 500, you're two games over. You should find a way to win on home ice.
And at the very least, every time I tune in, they're bullying somebody Zadorov.
Oh, they're going to bully tonight again. Yeah, You can count on the third line running through a few people out there today, no question.
All right, Razor, appreciate you stopping by as always. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah, you too.
Enjoy the night.
Thank you.
Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it is 4:30. That means it's time for QB Under the Tree. We give away another autographed Patriots foot.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ball.
This is a great win for us, man. That was a great win. I'll take everyone we can get. Obviously, a team that knocked you out in the playoffs, it's even sweeter to come back, but it's just one game, you know, so we just got to focus on the next one now, and that's what's most important.
That's Jaylen Brown heading into tonight's load management situation where he will not play against the Washington Wizards. Before we get to the Celtics and JB, though, we got to get to our QB under the tree. Time to give away another football. Time to give away a football signed by a former Patriots quarterback.
It's going to be one heck of a football that we give away here.
Under our tree, it could be anybody.
It's WEEI's QB Under the Tree. Be caller 10 now at 617-931-0937. If you know the correct play call, you can win an autographed Patriot quarterback football.
My voice squeaked out football.
From Under the Tree.
That's right. You heard it. Call the contest line, not the regular line. I know we're only 4 days into this, but it's taken people a while to get used to it. Be caller number 10 right now, 617-931-0937. Ted Johnson is going to head over to the beautiful Christmas tree and get a football signed by a former Patriot. And while he does that, I'm going to tell you that customers can order their own premium freshly cut tree, setup service, lighting service, and tree recycling service at www.xmasdelivered.com. They can also visit and select their tree in person at the Snowport Tree Market located at 99 Autumn Lane in Boston. I don't know if Ted's doing that extra loud for effect or if that's how he naturally opens presents, but you can hear him. He's getting to that football.
First of many presents today for Ted Johnson.
That's right. Happy birthday.
He's just practicing for after.
Happy birthday, Ted. And who is it? What do we got under there?
Presents.
This quarterback had one of the highest passing games of the season so far. That would be one Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, it's a record-setting football.
Wow.
There you go. I believe it's the most completions in the history of the NFL.
47.
Yep.
47 completions. So if you're caller number 10 now and you know the play call that was given out this morning, 7:30, Greg Hill Show, you can win yourself a Jacoby Brissett football. We'll give you the winner and the play call at the end of this segment that you'll need to win a ball tomorrow morning.
What was the number again?
That's 617-931-0937.
It's a great
number. Watch the screens, some people got the number and some people didn't because they listening is important. We learned that yesterday when Ted was on his little rant and dealing with callers who clearly weren't listening.
Nope.
And the phone number is important. But yes, we need to get to our guy, JB, Ted Johnson. There's been a lot of football, Monday, weird schedule. We haven't had a chance to really touch base with you on JB and what he's doing, this little stretch he's had, a couple 40-point games, mm-hmm. a triple-double in there. How are we feeling about Jaylen Brown and what he's doing?
I hope he goes and thanks Kata every night for his success. Other than that, he's doing great, right? Averaging 29 points, a career high, 6 rebounds, 4.8 assists, a career high. Shooting almost 50% from the field, career high. 78% from the free throw line. It's got to get a little better, don't it, bud? But career high, nonetheless.
That game the other night when he hit 1 of 2 and kept it a 2-point game instead of a 3-point game late, I knew I was going to hear about that.
How about this? If JB maintains his 29-point average, he would be third in the history of Celtics, just behind Jason Tatum at 30.1 and then Larry Bird, who had averaged 29.9 points back in 87-88 season. So, look, he's playing great. When you see particularly over the last 5 games when they're beating Detroit and Orlando, Cleveland and New York,
yep.
He's 34 points, 7.2, so in the biggest games he's delivering. But isn't this what we're supposed to expect from JB? I mean, there's no Jason Tatum. He was the highest paid player in the league 2 years ago. So is it all that surprising? I mean, we're all acting like this is something that we've never seen before or not expected. And when it's, the team's best player is out right now. So the second best player is filling in. And so he's going to get more touches, more opportunities to score. And so I'm not surprised that he's got career highs in some of these categories because Jason Tatum isn't out there. So I don't know. I mean, there's. I heard you guys earlier talking about it. I know it's great to see, but it's all that. It's not all that surprising to me. Is all I'm trying to say.
And it shouldn't be. I agree with you. I think some of us who thought this was in him thought he'd have an opportunity to score more, thought he'd have an opportunity to have the ball in his hands more, and things of that nature. And he has taken advantage of it. I think the question comes up though. There still seems to be this. Are people annoyed by what he said? I did my 3-point stance a couple weeks ago, Fitzy, on that comment he made about, my guy Tracy McGrady had to tell me to stay here because I was mad because they wanted to trade me.
His breakfast podcast.
Odd thing to bring up at the point in the season.
Awful. It was a terrible, terrible thing. Now, I saw he did, I think, another one. I think there was another Twitch last night that I saw making the rounds on my Twitter. The only highlight I saw was him joking about points scored, that he crossed 12,000, and he was like, wait, people got to 40,000 points? How the bleep do they do that kind of thing? So if he sticks to those kind of little silly, fun basketball comments on Twitch, I think that's great. But, we had a caller, Fitzy, that calls up and said, how come you're not talking about his turnovers? That's a guy that just doesn't like Jaylen Brown, in my opinion, and I'm guessing it isn't just the turnovers. It's what he says, how he carries himself. There's a preconceived view of who Jaylen Brown is, and 40 points doesn't change it.
I wonder how many people also, in addition to not loving his Twitches and not loving the fact that he treats his platform like one for his particular interests, his causes, social justice, etc., which, of course, we know there was all sorts of pushback on for the last half decade or so. Do people also just sort of hold it against him for, like, we'll say, in that Eastern Conference Finals when Tatum rolled his ankle 46 seconds into the game? And Jaylen Brown had an opportunity to do what he ultimately did in the playoffs later and is doing this season and be the man, and he kind of spit the bit that night.
No, I think there are a lot of layers. I do think the thing you brought up, too, is the visual, Ted. He has some of the ugliest turnovers you'll ever see from an NBA player, especially from a superstar. Whatever he's going to be, I put out a poll earlier. A lot of fans assume he's going to be all-NBA. He has some of the worst turnovers you'll ever see from an all-NBA player.
I like how you put that. You know, like, was he in the ballroom for the first time dribbling before the game? What's going on there? So, yeah, I do. I'm trying to think of an analogy here. I don't know. Help me out, Fitzy. Who's an actor that people love their movies, but not the stuff off? You know, Tom Cruise, maybe. Hey, you know.
Yep.
I love Tom Cruise movies. Oh, but he's Scientology. So,
yes. So, I'll give you the perfect Mel Gibson. Like, there's somebody who, like, his off-screen activities. It's like,
it's so they don't like the off-the-screen behavior, so it's going to impact what they think of him on screen. I think that it's a lot of what happens with Jaylen Brown is the off-the-court stuff is going to influence what they think of him on the court.
Is this where is this going long-term? Like, we're seeing how it's playing out this year, right? He's doing what he's supposed to do. They're now in the sixth spot, so hopefully they're going to end up a playoff team. You're going to get Jason Tatum back. Does he just willingly go back to second fiddle, or did he get a taste of the good stuff? And is this going to alter that relationship that we've talked about seemingly since it started 8 years ago?
I mean, if nothing prior to this season has impacted their relationship, I can't imagine this being the one thing that all of a sudden breaks it, and now they can't work together, and because now one's got a taste of what it's like to be in the one, and so they're going to – I mean, don't you want to win? Like, aren't you better when you're both playing on the court?
Yep.
To think that you need your own ship, I just think – To win in the NBA, look, you might not need a big three, but you need a big two, don't you? At least.
Absolutely.
He's got to realize that. It's just, I think he loves playing for this team. I don't know if he likes living in this town, but I think he loves playing for the Celtics organization. I can't imagine he would want to give all that up. The money they've paid him, the way they've treated him, just because now all of a sudden he's has to go back to a number two. I mean, we only say he's a number two. They don't talk about him as a number two.
Right.
Right?
Well, and I just wonder, I said to Fitzy, the optimistic fan in me says, is he learning what he can do and how he can do it, and can that be put to good use? So in the, you know, in the NBA, they say the non-Tatum minutes. So if Tatum's not on the floor, okay, JB, I want you to be a Ferrari right now. You got 6 minutes, 8 minutes. Go be the Ferrari. Go give me a run of points. Dominate the game. And then you can rest, and like you almost have it could be better. And it's like having two aces, right? Yeah. We want to have two aces for the Red Sox. You could have two aces.
What I'm trying to figure out, Fitzy, is stylistically, what with JB running the show, stylistically, how different is it than when JT is running the show? And is that going to impact how things are run when JT comes back? There's less threes now a little bit. Maybe it's a little more of attacking kind of offense. JT, is he going to really want to attack the basket when he comes back from that Achilles? Probably not. So I'm wondering stylistically, Fitzy, if anything changes when JT comes back.
It's going to have to for two reasons. One, to adapt to what Tatum does best. Hopefully that's less iso ball and maybe more team-oriented play. And two, it's going to have to just because he's only going to be able to play a certain number of minutes a night as well, Ted. Like, he's going to start probably at the 13 to 16 minute range and have to work his way back up to playing full games, we hope, by the end of the season or come playoffs. But if what the Celtics are doing now continues to work, and they let's say, Andy, they work their way up to the 5 seed or the 4 seed, Tatum's going to have to integrate into what's working for these Celtics, not, okay, guys, now everything changed for Tatum because the big dog is back. Jaylen Brown is clearly, it's funny, he's 22-17 without Tatum on the court over his career. Yet he's clearly most comfortable now than I've seen him in years.
Yeah, and that's interesting what you bring up, because it just made me, like, it's going to put pressure on the other players on the court, almost like, Well, which style are we playing? Who do I defer to? It's almost like divorced parents and like, which one's in charge right now?
Yeah.
Which house am I in? Which house rules am I using? Am I on JB's court with JB's rules? Am I in Tatum's court with Tatum's rules?
You can't have two alphas out there when in a five-team, you know, a five-player team.
Right.
Like, it's someone's got to be the alpha. And that it's interesting because you got a lot of young guys that who do I defer to, right?
It's going
to
be interesting. This is something we're going to keep an eye on, not only into the spring, but then into the start of next season and how that team is built around Tatum and Brown. Congratulations to our winner of a Jacoby Brissett football autographed QB under the tree. Robert G. in Lisbon, Connecticut is the proud new owner of a Jacoby Brissett autographed football. That's right.
Winners.
He is the guy that has the record for the most completions in a single game in NFL history.
And they almost won the game, too.
Yeah, they did. He's also in those funny backup QB commercials that are on TV these days.
Yeah.
He's one of those backup QBs. So your next chance to win will be tomorrow morning, 7:30, on the Greg Hill Show, as long as you know the play call. And the play call today is...
Check, check. Here we go.
Check,
I'm,
check.
I'm signaling over here. I'm signaling over there.
Green 80. Green 80.
There you go.
Ready, break. Green 80 tomorrow morning on the Greg Hill Show will get you a QB Green under the 80. Tree autographed football by a former Patriots quarterback. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, you knew there was going to be one. There's going to be a segment always, it feels like, on Jordan Hudson. There is more Jordan Hudson news. She's making requests and demands. What is she up to down at UNC? We'll touch on that next here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On WEEI.
We put your name on the board as part of our football team, so you're going to be now, you know, officially a Carolina football player. Super excited to put up there, and I'll hand it over to Matt. Let him do the honors, but congratulations. Look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you,
Travis. Travis, excited to get you up here. Excited to get the Burgess Five up here. You leading an offense at Carolina Blue is going to be iconic, my man, okay? So it's going to be a next chapter in your life. I'm excited for it, man.
No, I appreciate it.
That was UNC head football coach Bill Belichick. Yesterday was one of the signing days in college football. That was a new iconic leader of the offense, which could use some leadership because the offense was offensive for the Tar Heels this year. But
that's a new quarterback they're bringing in.
Yeah.
So the quarterback they paid $2 million to.
Yeah, it wasn't great a return on investment there.
Oh,
I don't know, boys. The number 12 recruiting class in the nation,
no way.
According to ESPN, according to a graphic that Jordan made on Adobe Photoshop.
That's based on quantity, not quality. I've read a lot of that. Yes. They have like 15 more players than everybody else, and they're going this whole quantity method, which they need. Because one of the things, before we get into Jordan and all the salacious stuff, is they had no idea what talent was, and they did not put together a representative roster last year when they arrived. They didn't know how to acquire the talent. They didn't know what talent was needed. Lombardi and Company, the recruiting process, that was their biggest fatal flaw, and it was, you know, from the get-go, they didn't have enough talent.
Everybody knows year two of the Belichick regime is really when it takes off.
Oh, yeah.
That's
is
when
it?
The championships are won.
It's 94. Year two when he was in Cleveland is when they made it to the playoffs and bumped
you don't think,
the Patriots.
He's telling all the powers that be at UNC that?
I'm right in between the years of Belichick because he's running out of things to say.
2001, year two with the Patriots.
You're
what happened
saying,
that year?
Fitzy.
It was year four with the Browns.
I love it how he never gives that 2001 team any credit, though. So it's... Why should we give him credit for it? Because he doesn't give us any credit.
I like it. Well, anyway, Jordan.
Oh, real quick, one side of it.
Yes.
The leading tackler, the middle linebacker for UNC, is in the transfer portal, though. He is out of there.
So the Ted Johnson of UNC is like, I'm out of here.
We're going to have some balance.
Should we get him on the show?
Yeah, we should.
I feel like you and he could probably old war stories, probably some talking points.
We need to get a former player on to talk about
how he'll come to BC. Maybe they got more money. They're opening things up under Billy O. Come up this way. Ted Johnson will commiserate with you. You guys can talk about Belichick shared stories or whatever. But speaking of stories, we had the threat or whatever from Jordan to Pablo Torre that she's going to sue him. He didn't seem too worried based on his responses. We now have evidence that she is collecting information. This comes via David Cavucci, editor-in-chief at FOIA Ball, a weekly newsletter, whatever. It's one of those Freedom Information Act requests.
Yes, known as FOIA.
FOIA, okay. Mm-hmm. FOIA Ball.
Yeah, FOIA.
So she is requesting any correspondence with the senior athletic director, Robbie Pickerel-Evans, and wants emails and all communications, correspondence with CBS News, basically. It's... Dragan Malevich, anything going to CBS News, anything going to 60 Minutes and CBS News, and any correspondence relating to interview requests for UNC head coach Bill Belichick, as well as responses to those requests. Ted Johnson, what do you make of all this?
This is insane. This is crazy. you know, it's insane. When is this ever going to end? I'm trying to... So correspondence with... CBS News and 60 Minutes. What is at the root of her requesting this information? You think you say she's getting ready to sue Pablo. How does this correspondence with those outlets help her sue Pablo Torre?
I don't know. You seemed like a lawyer yesterday when you were grilling Fitzy and I before your 3-point stance. I don't. You're the litigator.
You've never been divorced before? Let me tell you. I got all that to the lawyer speak. Yeah. I'm trying to. I don't know how the Pablo Torre lawsuit she's threatening lines up with these requests.
Yeah, I don't really either. Okay. I don't.
And we don't know that is her motivation for requesting this information.
Right, and I would also, you brought this up off air, does North Carolina know? How does North Carolina feel about this? Where is this information going? Because they've already said they're not on board with the lawsuit. And what are the next layers? Remember that video that made the rounds from the Underdog TV show or something? Is she going to be searching for things there? Like, where is this going?
Where's this end? Where's it go? I think she is enjoying just kind of being on this ride right here. I think she enjoys the limelight, I think there's something in her personality, likes the people coming at her because it makes her relevant. It makes her, you know, she's going to say, you know, she in her brain, you know, you see all these things, you know, people, haters come at you, it's because you're relevant and because they want to be you and because there's all this psychological things you can tell yourself. And I think she kind of gets off to it, man, in a weird psychological way.
And is she planning, Fitzy? Is this just libel, slander? Like, what's the actual lawsuit about?
This is one of the times where I hate to say it because it's like not the best for radio, but I literally have no idea what she's doing. I don't think anyone does.
Do you think, I mean, Bill knows about this and he's okay with her requesting information from his employers, which I would think UNC, the last thing they want to do is give her any information if they can help it.
Right. I don't think
or
they'd want
to. Have
any
of their laundry aired or have any of their intel out there. Like, it's kept private until it's necessary in a court of public law. This is sort of a just don't ask, don't tell type of situation to me.
I think the people that are probably most excited are lawyers, because if this actually happens, they're going to get a lot of billable hours that they don't care that it's a frivolous lawsuit. They don't care that it's going
and
nowhere.
Us. Are you kidding
well,
me?
And us. Yeah,
and
good point.
Every Patriots fan and radio host in New England.
I just dream of discovery. You know, those when people are sitting down and have to answer all those questions, and it's like what you knew, when you knew it, how you knew it.
This feels like she's going after UNC more than like she's requesting correspondence relating to interview requests for UNC head football coach Bill Belichick, as well as the subsequent responses to those requests. She wants to, maybe she wants to find stuff out that they were hiding.
Were they like setting Bill up? Were
right.
Trying to make Bill look bad.
Like there's so it feels like she's going after UNC, not Pablo Torre. When you kind of think about this, to what end?
Yeah,
like,
I have no idea.
To what end, Jordan? Man.
But I will say,
keep being you, baby.
You always say this, Ted. Like, this is not her acting on her own. She's with Bill. Bill's, at the very least, aware of this. Okay,
oh, they're kindred spirits now.
Yeah. But, I mean, don't pretend like, oh, he's just focused on football. He doesn't even know what she's up to. No. He knows. He knows what she's up to, and he's on board with it. He's all in on this. He's all in.
You're not going to, your muse is you never, ever, ever leave your muse hanging. You support them. You love them. You nurture them. You
ride or die,
them.
Right? Ride or die. That's his ride
that's
or
it,
die
man.
Girl right
that's
there.
It.
So that's the latest on Jordan, Bill Belichick, UNC, and everything in that soap opera. We will keep tabs on that, I'm sure, via social media. Appreciate it. Anything that comes up via Adobe Photoshop or any other IG accounts, we'll bring it to the airwaves. Up next, we get to the drive at 5 o'clock here. It's time to talk a little bit about the Celtics and a little bit about everything else that we had today on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.